The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Hello again, nerds and lady nerds. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. And digitally sitting across from me is the other host. Say your name. Say hi.
Hi, I'm the other host.
His name's Joe Patrick.
Yeah!
And when we're not hitting you with nerd news and comic reviews, we are playing the Answer of the Week. It's what we're here to do today. Here's how it works. Every Sunday, Joe Patrick puts up the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can find them by clicking the forum button at twoheadednerd.com. And then you can call us at 402-819-4894 or send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or tie a message to your dog and send it out of the house.
That's what I just did.
Train to come to us. And we listen to those answers on the show. But before we can do so, Joe Patrick, you're a head questionnaire. Reset this question.
So this week's question came from Carl Smith. You might know him as Camarillo Brillo. So Carl tweeted at us and publicly shamed us into using his question. He says, as comic fans, we're pretty good at suspension of disbelief when it comes to stuff like LMDs or time travel. But sometimes they take it too far. So I want the listeners to tell us the most unbelievable, hardest to swallow events that they have seen in comics.
You're unbelievable.
I had mine the second I read the question.
All right, let's get right into it. Anthony, currently from Brooklyn, who chided us for calling him Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
No, he chided you.
Us, both of us.
No, you, because I always just call him Anthony from Brooklyn.
Oh,
because
please.
I don't care where he was born. I only care where his heart lies.
He's one of our geographic nicknames, all right? Deal with it. Regardless, he also said that Joe Patrick was a pervert for liking Saturn Girl just because she's a girl in the bikini. But, you know, whatever.
He also asked in his email, do we do the question of the week on Periscope? The answer is no, because you wouldn't be able to hear the answers.
Yeah, there's no way to get the audio in there until Periscope gets sexier, unfortunately. So, for now, we're doing it in the dark. Take it away, Anthony.
Sup, nerds. Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here. And there's a character that forces me to suspend my disbelief in a fashion that's, like, almost uncomfortable. In fact, I'm not even sure I can really do it, but it's on the page, so, like, I have to accept it. And that is Squirrel Girl in the pages of New Avengers. She's a joke character. Guys, she was meant to have one appearance, defeat Dr. Doom with an army of squirrels, and then that's it. Ha 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 ha! That's it. But no, we have to bring her into the Marvel Universe. We gotta make her cool. And how are we gonna do that? Well, Brian hashtag not my Guardians Bendis brings her into the New Avengers. In a way, that's very clever. Okay, I'll give him that. She's the nanny of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's baby. That's great, but leave it there. Okay? But no, we choose not to. We're gonna make her cool and awesome. And how are we gonna do this? By having her defeat Wolverine in combat, which is garbage, right? In this really ridiculous scene where, A, Wolverine beats Iron Fist in a sparring match, which is complete bull, considering that every time Wolverine faces off against ninjas, his body is littered with arrows and shuriken, whereas Iron Fist faces an army of ninjas, walks away unscathed, and goes and has a snack. That's already garbage. But then we're going to have her pop in and whoop Wolverine's ass? No. But even worse than that, we're also going to imply that Wolverine had a sexual relationship with Squirrel Girl. It's not openly said, oh, we've had sex, but the subtext is there. Especially when you consider that one time Emma Frost went inside of his brain and found the area where his sexual fantasies lie, and Squirrel Girl was in there. No, Wolverine, no. She is a child. In her first appearance, she was like 14 years old. She's now going to college. So whenever this happened, she was a kid. Wolverine? No. No, sir. Bad. So that's it. Squirrel Girl. Thank you.
Outrage.
I don't know, Anthony. I think you're in the minority there, buddy.
I'm with him. I think Squirrel Girl is stupid. Now, I think her book is cute. well written and very
I think you're stupid.
Very well executed. I've always thought that character was dumb. I'm with you 100%, Anthony. And no way she beats Wolverine. And no way Wolverine beats Iron Fist.
Wolverine Schmolverine. She also beat Thanos and Galactus.
Yes, in what I have decided is effectively like a kiddie book. So, you know, whatever.
In continuity, bro. Sorry, you don't like it. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
To be fair, Thanos and Galactus pretty much lost every fight they've ever been in. Ultimately, they always lose.
Don't rationalize.
I am totally with him. Thank you for your call, sir. Randy Andrews, second up.
This is Randy Andrews, emailing in for the question of the week. I'm broadcasting from a rabbit hole in our yard today. I'm deep, deep underground to answer the question of weird, convoluted time travel storylines. Well, guys, I think the most recent I could think of is out of the Uncanny Inhumans comic, with Kang the Conqueror trying to wipe out all Inhumans. First, he starts in the past, say just decades before the present time. Then, by the time he's all done, he goes 10,000 years in the past with a totally different set of Inhumans. Then, there is the whole storyline of Black Bolt and Medusa's son, who gets altered by Kang and destroys everything. So they have to go back and somehow find him. And when they finally do find him, he's way back with the Inhumans that are 10,000 years ago.
Way back.
Now call that convoluted. Anyway, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Skies Transformation. See you in a week. Bye for now.
I will say I'm with Randy in the sense that that book got way out far ahead of itself. And I haven't
read it.
I had to go, whew, okay, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Never read it.
Charles Soule is a good writer. I've been enjoying his Inhumans. It just seems like maybe he got in a little deeper than he thought. Like he started down the rabbit hole and couldn't stop, you know?
Never read it.
All right. Hey, thanks. Well,
I have no opinion.
Take my word for it. Good call, Randy. Appreciate it.
I like a good time travel story, so I don't know what to tell you.
Moving forward to our good friend, Jim Kettnerd. Always has a good soundtrack, too.
Join Matt Kettnerd here. So guys, this is a tough question, not because it's hard to think of an answer. It's just that absurd plot twists and nonsensical leaps in story credibility are just so ubiquitous in mainstream comics. So much so that if you're a fan of superheroes for any stretch of time, you have to just accept that, yeah, occasionally very dumb things are going to happen in order to either set up a creator's new take on a book, or clean up the previous guy's mistakes, or obey the mighty suits who sit above in shadow. Whether it's Teen Iron Man or Superboy Prime having a cosmic temper tantrum, or Peter Parker selling his marriage to Mephisto, if you love superhero comics, you must accept the eye rolls that will inevitably happen if you continue to read them. The only thing to do is to hope that however bad something like, say, Flashpoint hurts you, the stories that come after these dumb, terrible, stupid transgressions in logic, characterization, and continuity can be soothed by newer, better stories that ignore all that dumb shit. Eventually, the pain fades. But since I haven't given you a real answer yet, I guess I'll just name a more recent nerd-related injury that I still haven't quite recovered from, and one where I anticipate continued deep hurting. I'm just gonna say it, Man of Steel. There's enough plot holes and out-of-character moments to fill an hour-long rant, but I'll just stop here and say that it's for all the reasons you would think. Just like comics, I know that eventually Superman can recover cinematically, and eventually there will be a new Superman movie that I'll actually be looking forward to. It just stinks that with comics, it seems like creative teams and new directions can shift in a more positive direction. Well, not faster than a speeding bullet, but faster than Hollywood. Anyway, guys, that's it for me this week. If you'd like to hear more, please tune into my podcast, Galacticus, on iTunes, and my comics and illustrations at kettnerd.com. You won't wait to see.
I love that song.
I love that song too. Now, we have to have a serious discussion. We asked for comic book story. Are we counting this? Because we know we both agree with him.
Yes, of course, it's fine. It's comic related. Who cares?
Well, we didn't say comic related.
Fine. Who cares?
Okay. You're saying okay. I just wanted to go to the judges. We're going to make sure. There's rules. It's not Nom, Joe.
No. We focus too much on rules. We need to lighten the hell up.
They love the rules. Go to the forums.
They don't love the rules.
They scream about them all the time.
The rules serve no one but you.
The rules are all we have.
We have each other, Matt. We have each other.
Yes, and our relationship has rules as well. Thank you, Jim. We agree. Man of Steel. Everybody, I mean, we don't even need to talk about it anymore. Everyone knows. And now we're about to get another Superman v. Batman movie where Superman's going to pull Batman in half, hopefully. So, I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
The ultimate gladiatorial battle. That's what they're calling it on Twitter.
Huh.
Yeah. That's exactly what I wanted to see. So, here we go. Skyler Walker, always good to hear from you, buddy. He's becoming a mainstay on this show.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Skyler Walker, score one, calling you with my answer to the question of the week. While I'm sure most people will cite some power that mocks even the concept of physics, or point out various examples where writers have no sense of scale, something far more mundane violates my suspension of disbelief. While each individual use of this trope may be internally justified in the story itself, it's in its ubiquitousness that I judge it. What am I rambling on about? Well, see if you can name me a single long-running action series in which the hero is not captured and imprisoned ever. I'd wait, but it'll take too long. While I can forgive the conceits of specific genres, Jonah Hex is a Western, and I swear he was held captive in every other issue of Graham Palmiotti's series. I very much doubt real-life super spies waste time playing folding chair footsie with each other. I can believe a man can fly, but I can't begin to believe that the Joker doesn't shoot Batman the very first chance he gets. No joke, it automatically drops any comic a full letter grade in my regard. There's only one exception, and it's when the villain plans to experiment on the hero. I'd insert a joke here if I was funny, but I'm not, so.
Skyler, you stop that. We're not going to sit here and listen to you beat yourself up. So he has a problem with superheroes getting caught and not getting killed.
Then you just have a problem with superhero comics. I don't know how else to explain that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get where he's coming from, you know.
I sort of do, but it's sort of like what Kettner said, like, if you're going to allow for the superhero genre, there are going to be certain things that you just have to kind of like let go.
And that kind
of
is
part of, and one of those things is that the dude does not immediately get killed the second he steps out his front door.
Right.
I understand where you're coming from. I view that as just part and parcel of the superhero idea.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a symptom of comics, if you will. D-Murray.
Every time he sends one in, he says it may not be a popular answer.
I know. And even sometimes he says, this could be the last one. You might not ever hear from me again.
How's it going, guys? D here answering your question in a week. They've gone too far this time. They did it. They went too far. I'm angry. Like, this is it. I'm taking a break from you guys because you made me angry and I'm done.
We did
that's
it.
That's it.
We got him.
My answer for you, and I want to say the new 52, pre-52 thing, that's popping in my head over and over again. Just say that.
Oh, he's speaking hypothetically.
Just say it.
Sorry.
But it's not like they've gone too far. Like, they did it and it happened. It wasn't too far. It was in the process and then, bam, it happened. My answer for you has to be Daredevil joining the Avengers. I mean, you say to yourself, like, Daredevil. Yeah, I like Daredevil. He's funny. I pick up his comic books every once in a while. Hey, he had a kid soon. That was cool. He got, like, in touch with his feels and whatnot. That was funny. That was fun. And then you say to yourself, Deadpool's a killer, man. He kills people. Like, that's what he does. He may be cool, fun, dress up like a chick sometimes. Chimichangas. Yeah. Like, that's cool. But if someone said, hey, I have $2 billion. I want you to kill Thor or Captain America. Deadpool won't stop until he does it. Captain America vouches for this guy. I'm just, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why. Why? Why? Is Captain America brainwashed or something? I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm rambling now, but that's my answer. Take it easy, guys.
I swear to God, I thought he said Daredevil.
He did say Daredevil.
I swear to God, he said Daredevil joining the Avengers.
Yeah, he did at first. He meant to say Deadpool.
Okay, all right, all right. Because at first I was like, you know what? I kind of agree.
He meant to say Deadpool, and he's absolutely right. It is stupid that Deadpool is in the Avengers on any Avengers team. I don't care if it's an Avengers Suicide Squad. It's dumb, and we don't need it, and I don't get it, and I'm with you 100%, D.
Well, I mean, that's just like rubbing it in your face that this comic book is about making money.
Yeah, marketing.
And I know that all comic books are about making money, but it's the same thing when Bendis launched New Avengers, and right there front and center were Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Yep.
But now, okay, I think personally,
it would be even worse if they launched Bendis drops Wolverine and Spider-Man onto the team, and it turns out that through a funny mistake, Wolverine made a bunch of money, and now he's paying everybody's bills too. Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I always thought the idea of Spider-Man as an Avenger was a good idea. But Wolverine and Deadpool, like, I can't think of two popular characters that have less business being on the Avengers.
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Anybody who murders people on a regular basis, not an Avenger.
For sure. It's like putting the Punisher on the Avengers.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, you may as well at this point. Why not? Let's see how big he gets on the Daredevil season 2. He might be there soon.
There you go. Hey, D, I am glad you're back, buddy.
I am too. Good call, buddy. Let's go to the man with the question himself, Carl Smith. He sent us a tear-stained email and got his question used. Let's see what he's got for us.
Hey, guys, Carl Smith here. I went a little long on that prior call, so go ahead and delete it, and I'll do a short one here. Thanks for using my question. One of the things I was considering about comic books was how we accept some things so easily, and other things seem to pull us completely out of the book. A lot of it has to do with the time that you fell into that comic book, like if you were a kid and so you've just always accepted it, or, you know, if it's part of the normal routine of that particular title that things are wacky, so you don't look at other wacky things such harshly criticism. But one of the things I've never been able to accept, and it's partially because I didn't read a lot of Spider-Man as a kid, is the Sandman. I think he's the single most unbelievable character in the Marvel Universe. And the whole idea that he can draw sand into himself and change form and dissipate and come back together, it's just insanity to me. And the fact that his mind exists on an astral plane and it's tied to one god particle within his mass of sand, that if Spider-Man can isolate that one piece of sand, then he has all of his consciousness and being wrapped up in that one. So as long as that one exists, he continues to live on and able to escape. Just biologically and conceptually, the single most confusing and unbelievable character I've ever read. And to the point where if he shows up in a comic book, unless I'm reading it to my son, I'm just like, nope, I'm done. So anyway, Sandman can't handle it. Thanks. Bye.
Even though I love the Sandman, I love that answer because he's totally right. Just the idea of how Sandman can exist as a being is so crazy.
Well, we're not supposed to understand him, you know? I mean, he's beyond us.
No way, man. Yeah. Spider-Man's all about science villains.
I'd say the problem with Sandman is they tried to explain him. Just don't explain
him. I kind of agree with you there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he used to be a little simpler. His mind was kind of merged with a portion of sand, so that if you were able to, like, tear him down a certain amount or whatever, or isolate a certain amount of him or whatever, he would just kind of like lose his ability to hold it together.
Yeah.
Instead of this whole like quantum particle, you know, one grain within billions has the entirety of Sandman's soul written on it or whatever the hell it is. Hydro-Man, same thing.
Yeah. It's
Any character that can actually become something totally different, not like shape-shifting, which just looks different. Like, you can molecularly become a completely different thing and then also become a normal dude if you want. It's weird.
Yeah, the rules kind of, well, what about like Zazax? He's like living charged particles. Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, I mean, but Zax doesn't turn human. He's just...
Yeah, he's just lightning.
He's
guy.
Living electricity.
Like, the living laser is just a living laser.
Living Lightning, however, who was a West Coast Avenger, he was a normal dude that turned into actual electricity.
Yeah.
Photon or Spectrum or whatever the hell her name is. From Next Wave and the Ultimates. Same deal. She's normal and then becomes energy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Wackadoo.
But I love characters like that, though. I can't help it.
As long as they're well written, I don't mind them.
You're absolutely right. Don't explain them.
Yeah, just don't explain it. It just is.
I don't need to know how it actually works.
Right.
I just need to know what he does.
Okay. Back to the Google voice line. This looks like it might be David Robbins.
That's what I'm seeing.
That's what I'm seeing, too.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. Greetings, listeners. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Talking about hard to swallow, really, moments in comics. There's a lot of them. I'm primarily a Marvel guy. My girlfriend's primarily a Batman / DC girl. But both our hearts lie with another title. As we talk about there, Batman doesn't know that there's a secret society running Gotham for, like, hundreds of years.
I had a problem with this,
really?
Too.
Norman Osborn gets put in charge of the new organization that replaces S.H.I.E.L.D., and everybody's okay with this? Really?
Not everyone was.
Those are a little hard to swallow, but they made for some great story. Our real hard-to-swallow moment comes from the Buffy comics. We're huge Buffy fans. That's no surprise. Season 8, great idea. Let's continue the story in comic books. But really, the guy named Twilight, first of all, that's dumb, who wants to destroy all the magic.
This is where they lost me.
Is actually Angel in a mask? Really? Why? Makes no sense. Really kind of dumb. I'm still scratching my head on it. Don't really know why they did that or why it was him or what they would have done if they couldn't work out the negotiation and get the right back from IDW when they expired. Kind of don't know. Anyway, that's my answer, guys. Talk to you later.
I'm totally with him. It was a huge thing because there was a really good Angel comic going on over at IDW. And they basically wrestled it away from him and said, no, you can't do this anymore. It's only going to be a dark horse. And that's what they did with the character. And it was stupid.
And really I kind of agreed that with David that it almost seemed like they were hedging their bets by keeping it a mystery until they knew they had the rights.
Oh, definitely. You have to wonder if they forced them to do it because it was just bad. The execution was bad. The story was dumb. It just didn't work at all. That was Willingham, right? He was at IDW doing it.
Angel, you mean? No. Yeah. Well, maybe.
I think it was.
Brian Lynch was one of the main Angel writers.
Brian Lynch was the guy at IDW.
But yeah, with the whole Twilight thing, like beyond the whole rights issue and why the hell is Angel acting like a villain again all of a sudden, his motivations didn't make any sense. Like, why is he out to destroy magic? I don't understand.
Yes, it was Brian Lynch and Joss Whedon worked on the IDW one too.
Well, no, in the sense that
no, he wrote some stuff as well. He did. I don't know if his backup stuff. Bill Willingham also did some stuff there.
I don't know how much writing Joss Whedon actually did on those books. Are you looking this up on Comic Book DB? Because that can't be trusted.
I'm on the Buffyverse wiki. It was a good book. I liked it. But unfortunately, Dark Horse wanted it back so they could.
That's a good call. That's a good answer, David. I like that answer.
I like that one, too. Nice job, David. Jesse Kiefer. He's been hitting us on the regular. Love this guy.
Hey there, Joe and Matt. It's Jesse again
from
GrawlixPodcast.com. Teleporting in my answer of the week. This week's question, what comic went over the top like Sly Stallone in an arm wrestling tournament?
Damn.
I can suspend disbelief for a lot. Galactus? No problem. Infinity Gems? You bet. Multiverse? Yes, please. So what story went too far? My answer comes from the pages of Spider-Man. Oh boy, which one? Clone Saga? Nope. Spider-Verse? Uh-uh. Maximum Carnage? Nah. The story I had a harder time with than all three of those was called Sins Past. The abridged version, Gwen Stacy spends some time in France. Unbeknownst to us true believers, she's being seduced and impregnated with twins who come looking for Peter Parker with a chip on their shoulders. Wait, what? They aren't Peter Parker's kids. So whose love children are they? Get ready, because sweet, innocent girl next door, Gwen Stacy, was secretly the baby mama of Norman. Human hair doesn't work like that. Osborn. Wait. Hold up. Is, Green Goblin's baby mama even on the board?
Survey said you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not. Well, we've got a lovely consolation prize for you then. The One More Day retcon event is coming up, and surely they'll sweep this little mess under the carpet. Wait, no? We're going to lose the MJ marriage, but the Gobby twins stay? Wow. I'd rather add another colored ring to the Green Lantern rainbow than try to process how out of character the Gwen Goblin relationship was. Marvel, please don't make a Gwen Goblin monthly. We get it. Gwen Stacy is the new Deadpool. All right, that's what I have for you. Have a great week.
Baboosh. Mic drop. Nice job,
yeah.
Sir.
Oh, man. Such a good answer. Sins Past. You remember in the year 2000 or early 2001 where everyone was so excited about the new direction Spider-Man was going in thanks to a fresh-faced young writer named J. Michael Straczynski?
We were all excited.
Oh, boy. Heady times. Yep. Heady times indeed.
Yeah. That went.
If only we knew then what would happen a short few years later.
We got the spider totems. We got. Remember
oh,
that
my
trend?
God.
Oh, man.
I can't think of any writer responsible for more wrongheadedness when it comes to Spider-Man than that guy.
Then they let him do it. They just let him do it.
For years.
Because it was selling. That's why. That's the
years
only
they let him do it.
They're like, yeah, what do you want to do next? Oh, yeah, you want to make Gwen have kids? Sure, why not? Oh, with Norman? I love it. Oh, wait, Spider-Man's a spider animal spirit? Oh, and there's a weird wasp spirit thing that hunts him? And all the other villains that sort of dressed up like animals were doing it because of a prophecy?
Oh, that was the worst, where it's like, have you ever noticed how all your villains are animal themed? Shut up!
It was called Web of Life or something like that. Oh, God, it was bad.
That's like saying, oh, man, the reason all of Superman's villains are sort of alien is because of some sort of ancient cosmic
right.
Universal whatever. No, it's because it's a sci-fi character.
Yeah,
shut up.
That's it. Ugh. Jesse.
Jesse, you got my Irish up.
We're not mad at you, okay?
It's got my Irish up, something fierce.
This might be a new guy, Damon Chan.
Maybe.
Do you recognize that name? I don't recognize no Damon Chan. Let's hear him. Let's get a good listen to him first.
Hi, Joe and Matt. This is Damon from Brooklyn. And I have to apologize for my first call. That was just bad and embarrassing on my part. I did not have the technology at the time. But now I'm back with better stuff.
Okay, quick break. Damon was a guy that called us. He was a first-time caller, and his call broke up, and it sounded really bad. But
it was, unintelligible.
Here he is. Welcome aboard, Damon.
Technology, so hopefully you hear me better. Anyway, this is my response to the question of the week, which was, what is the most unbelievable moment in comics? My answer has to be the New 52. Let me elaborate. You know, I've been around to see a lot of crazy crap back in the day, from the Clone Saga with Spider-Man to, as I tried to elaborate the first time, Batman's rather convoluted way of returning from the dead. But I don't know, something about the New 52, you know, initially when I first heard it, you know, I did not realize how extensive of a reboot it was going to be until, after Flashpoint and we started seeing the titles come out. I mean, we have Superman, who's supposed to be like this great epitome of what, you know, humanity can be. And I don't know, he just reverts back to some type of image 90s character, at least to me anyway. And, you know, then they have the whole thing with, you know, Justice League. I mean, they form, but yet somehow Green Lantern acts like a rookie, and but yet still somehow like the Green Lantern Core War was going on. I mean, I don't know. However, you know, shame about it. The most shameful thing about it to me is that they completely did it to bring in new readers and just completely destroyed an entire decade's worth of history and legacy with these characters. I know they're trying to bring it back with Rebirth, but I don't know. That was the moment that I just could not believe. And yeah, they went too far. Anyway, that's my response for question of the week. Thanks very much, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Damon, good news. They're sort of getting rid of some of the stuff that may or may not have kind of made you feel gross, and keeping some of the stuff that they hope didn't make you want to puke too much, while introducing new things that we missed from the past, but only some of it. Don't you feel better?
Maybe.
Welcome aboard, buddy. It's fine. It's nice to finally hear your voice.
Oh, Damon, you hit the nail right on the head, buddy.
That's a great take. You know, I didn't even think about the Green Lantern thing, but he's totally right. Like,
don't even get me started about the characterizations of these icons, but like, right?
The Justice League met. He's a rookie, new guy, kind of getting used to his powers and stuff. Oh, but all the other stuff happened.
The Justice League book took place
5 years in the past.
Right. After they'd only been on the scene for about a year.
Right. But five years in the past. So
yeah, yeah.
All that crap happened in the 5 years.
First arc did. But yeah, the characterizations are all wrong.
It was awful.
You know what? We talk about it too much.
Yep.
Damon, you did it. I love it.
You're
great
right.
Great answer.
You're absolutely right. You couldn't be righter. But right now, it's Toots.
Toots is going to tell you when comics got hard to swallow and things went too far. Back in the 90s, Marvel and DC did this crossover. Now, as I said, this is 1996. It's already a bad time for comics. There was two issues of Marvel versus DC, and two issues where they flip-flopped the title, DC versus Marvel. This series was incredibly hard to swallow and went way too far, and it's all your fault. I'm pointing my finger at each one of you listeners. Why do I say it was your fault? Because here's a book where there's matchups people wanted to see. These superheroes fight each other. It's finally happening. Well, guess what? We're going to let the fans vote on some of the outcomes. Outcomes such as Batman beating Captain America by throwing a batarang at his head and knocking him out. Can't Captain America take the Hulk's punch? How's a batarang going to knock the dude out? That went too far. Storm shooting Wonder Woman and kicking her ass with lightning bolts?
Stupid.
Come on, dude. Wonder Woman, that gal can take some lightning bolts. And as I said, you people voted on this. It's your fault. You went too far. That series was incredibly hard to swallow. Now, you could say it's my fault as well because I didn't vote. And if you don't vote, you don't make a difference.
That's right.
But whatever. I'm mad at all you guys because of it.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. That was a terrible series. It was so dumb. Yeah.
Marvel versus DC.
Storm beating Wonder Woman.
Toots did not know this when he called in, but what spun out of Marvel versus DC is the subject of our next question of the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this either.
Amalgam.
Oh, that's right. That did spin out of there. Didn't it? That directly came out of that.
Well, yeah, that was the whole point of the event.
Amalgam.
The fans can't be trusted. Whenever the story hinges on fan votes.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Dear God. No.
It's no good.
I've often said, like, that the public shouldn't even be allowed to choose what music is playing in, you know, in the rest, in any restaurant or public place, let alone whether or not Storm could beat up Wonder Woman. No.
To be fair, I think technically on the record, the Batman Captain America fight ended in a stalemate because they were interrupted.
Yeah, I'm not
the
looking it up.
Fans voted for Wolverine to beat Lobo.
Sure. Sure.
And the entire fight happens off panel.
Yeah. Why not?
I understand that Wolverine has a healing factor and he's super badass. But Lobo is as strong as Superman and can heal from a molecular level.
So you're basically saying that Wolverine could kick the shit out of Superman. There you go. Way to go, fans.
Through the transitive property.
Way to go.
That's a Dave DeMarco argument, and I'm proud of you.
There you go. Oh, okay, let's settle down. Let's just settle down. We're going to go up north. We're going to talk to the orca. He's going to say some funny stuff. Some of it's going to be a little controversial. We're going to like it. Here we go.
The most unbelievable, hardest thing to swallow in comic books is that Lois, and everyone else in Metropolis for that matter, didn't know that Clark Kent was Superman. I know that's a very basic answer for the orca, so I'll take it to another level.
Uh-oh.
The foolishness that other characters couldn't figure out who Superman was hurt comics' credibility with mainstream audiences for decades. I can't be the first one to hypothesize this. It was such a major mistake by whichever uncredited creator insisted upon it. Even kids see the flaw, and it affects everyone's sense of the entire industry. When the face of comics has such a giant WTF built right into his mythos, it becomes an uphill battle to convince people that comic books aren't just ridiculous stories about superheroes. And when there's such a giant sticking point so early in your comic book introduction, only a small percentage, us nerds, can suspend disbelief long enough to get to the good stuff. Don't tell me there's more than just the glasses. Whether it's the slouching, or the personality, or the voice, or whatever mechanism they've come up with lately to convince us that Clark's dual identity can survive, it's just a patch job for this all-time f*** up. Pick anyone in your life that you see on a regular basis. Now picture them with different posture and Buddy Holly glasses. Are they a different person now? Are you not going to recognize them? Or turn that around. Right now I'm using my snow machine quite a bit, and every day I take it across the lake to the general store for lunch, where an ass clown I call Fudgy Butt makes me a fried egg sandwich. If I go in there today and old Fudgy's ditched his flannels and gum rubbers for a tuxedo, and he's slicked his hair to one side, I ain't gonna think he's James Bond. As they're gonna say, geez, Fudgy, you clean up nice. So in closing, if Clark had a bad disguise, no secret identity thing wasn't such a super pill to swallow, how many more people were stuck with comics? And where would the medium be today? Kiss, kiss, boys.
Yikes! This is a biting indictment of Superman, but he's not wrong.
Yeah, I think he's wrong.
Now, didn't someone try to explain it as that when Clark puts the glasses on, he like vibrates like a little
bit?
No,
that's when he's flying around as Superman.
Oh, okay.
To prevent like getting caught on camera.
Okay. All right. But still, I will say 9 times out of 10, you talk to somebody who doesn't know anything about comics and they go, I hate Superman. Like, why do you hate Superman? I'm like, well, first of all, he has the worst disguise in the world.
Sure. But you know what? If I saw Dave DeMarco in a Batman mask, I'd still know it was Dave DeMarco.
I suppose.
Just because that mask covers his whole head doesn't mean I can't see the shape of his face to point him out.
Right.
To pick him out of a lineup.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And of course,
I'm not sure why I mentioned Dave DeMarco in that context, but but you get my meaning. It's right. Like, yeah, anybody, a mask, even if anything less than a head to toe complete cover job, including the mouth and ears and all that, it's going to be totally ineffective in real life.
Right. Of course.
And I don't agree with the orca that the ridiculous nature of Superman's secret identity damage the credibility of comics. We're talking about,
I mean, like, if that's
an idea that was floated to children 75 years ago.
Right. And if that's what did it, you're a dick.
So by the time anyone started thinking of comics in terms of credibility, it was already an iconic. It was already part of the lexicon.
And it was too late. It was just too late.
Yeah.
He brings up a good point, though. It's, I mean, he has a pretty stupid disguise.
I'm not saying it's not ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's not, like, so ridiculous that it damages comics as a whole.
Speaking of ridiculous, the guy with the most ridiculous nickname that we could possibly come up with, Clay Staley.
Hey, guys. It's Clay, the nickname Staley. It's about 10 past toots time. I'm calling into the question of the week. So I was initially going to go on a nerdy rant about the ending of Scott Snyder's The Wake, which started as an underwater horror mystery, became a swashbuckling adventure, and ended with Scott Snyder trying to convert you to Scientology or something, trying to say that tears hold a secret chemical in them that erased our memory of being from another planet. Anyway.
Should I block that out?
Really, anything you look at in comics is pretty unbelievable under the right light. To demonstrate this, I will talk about something a little more accepted and straightforward. Peter Parker was a pretty smart kid, but he was no super genius or anything. Yet he invented one of the most impressive pieces of technology probably any teenager's invented. A web slinger that can fire a super adhesive piece of web long distances. It holds up under body weight, can wrap up villains and all this kind of stuff. He wasn't an inventor. He just happened to stumble on that one invention, which was pretty lucky for him because he could have just as easily been bitten by a radioactive raccoon. And then he'd have, like, super climbing and scurrying abilities. He'd have super raccoon sense that tells him when a trash can is nearby. And he'd be running around in a raccoon suit. And all the supervillains would be like, what's with all these webs? He just got really lucky. And I don't know. That's pretty unbelievable to me. Hopefully you guys like that. See you later.
Even more unbelievable is he didn't sell it and become a billionaire.
They address this in the comics. At some point, he tries to sell the formula for web fluid to 3M. And 3M refuses to buy it on the grounds that they have no use
because
a glue that dissolves in an hour.
It only lasts for an hour, which is so dumb.
Yes, so dumb. That's also bullshit. Because you're telling me there is no market for a super adhesive that's right. Temporary?
No doubt. You could end war, basically, if we drop this on the enemy's troops and they're like, and then you just come in and arrest everybody or take their weapons or whatever. War,
they should have laughed
over.
All the way to the Department of Defense.
No doubt. Like, Syria? Not a problem. Hold on.
Here's a check for $1,000, kids. See you never.
I mean, good God.
But yeah, House of M, they touch on this idea and, you know, where Spider-Man's got this bright, happy life where Uncle Ben doesn't die and he marries the girl of his dreams and he ends up supplying web shooters to, like, the NYPD and they use them for crime fighting.
Sure. Or, like, any, you know, non-violent way to hold someone.
Yeah. So the idea...
VA hospitals, orphanages, you know, right. Like mental institutions anyway, you know, I mean, like, come on, stop hurting yourself. All right. I warned you.
Kids being unruly.
Yeah.
Web them to the wall for an hour. Now to walk it back a little and address Clay's first point, Peter Parker is a super genius.
Yes. Later on, Peter Parker is definitely inventing all kinds of stuff.
He is an inventor. Now he's not like a Reed Richards.
No.
But he is definitely.
You mean he's
way
not,
smarter than the
he's
average.
He's not sitting
bear.
In outer space with his kid creating universes now.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
But yeah, at 15 years old, where did he even have the chemicals to create web fluid?
Yeah, you know.
How did he get those materials?
It was like white out and some. Double sticky back tape.
Right. I've got like the goo that seals the packages of baseball cards right. I bought at the Five and Dime.
Oh, whoops. I spilled the baking soda. Hey, wait a minute. What is this?
Yeah, so not only is the web fluid completely crazy far-fetched, but you were able to create a miniaturized spinneret.
Yeah.
That can be worn under your clothing without being noticed.
Yes, and that spinneret is so powerful that it can fire this web fluid. I mean, I don't even...
60 feet.
60 feet? That's still insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's an enormous length. Yeah. And in midair... the spinneret can be adjusted to weave nets.
Sure.
To create hang gliders. Sure. and little parachutes.
Or just like a big ball that you can swing around and smack somebody with, and they don't stick to it. They just get hit.
Yeah. You know? it's strong enough. It cannot be torn. Now, they've kind of, as the story dictates, of course, these aren't really valid anymore. But part of the deal with web fluid was that, like, it's so strong that you can't rip it.
Right.
So, like, if you are anyone shy of, say, the Hulk, maybe that's being too generous. So, the Luke Cage, right?
Right.
He's strong, but he's not Hulk strong.
Right.
You could probably wrap up Luke Cage in webbing, and it would give him a genuine level of difficulty.
Yeah, like, Cap can't get out of there.
No, Cap can't get out of there.
Wolverine can't get out of there. You know, like guys.
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Couldn't be cut. It couldn't be torn. And of course, they've since shown it being cut and torn.
Sure,
but
plenty of times.
How does that 15-year-old boy achieve that feat? It's crazy.
Because genius. There you go.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time talking about web fluid.
We really did. This is
bothered, I like that answer.
This has bothered us for years.
Again, it doesn't really bother me, but it's really silly.
Clay was our final call. Final call. Who's your pick? Who do you like? Favorite? Let's talk.
So I am giving my pick to, though I loved all the calls, and all of those were, yes, very ridiculous. My favorite caller goes to Jesse Kiefer.
Mine does too.
Because of all the things that were brought up today, that is the one that made me the maddest.
Yeah, like looking back over JMS's run, the entirety of his run, and I mean starting from the beginning.
You got to count it as a net loss, don't you?
You have to just remove it from continuity. Completely. They had no choice. The whole one more day or one less day or whatever the hell, they had to do that to get rid of everything that JMS did, but they did that so bad that they got rid of something we all loved.
But the crazy thing is that the point of One More Day, which was also written by Straczynski.
Yes, but he said, take my name off of it.
Yeah, he said, take my name off of it because of the way Marvel handled it.
Yeah.
Not because of the end result. He was on board for the end result. The point of One More Day was not to undo what JMS did, because they still reference all that crap about the totems.
Oh, yeah. Moreland.
The Spider-Verse was all about that.
Yeah, Moreland just popped up not too long ago for our giant spider event where he was chasing all the different spiders through time and stuff. That guy right out of JMS's run.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
It's because there's this huge amount of respect for J. Michael Straczynski out there. Huge amount of respect.
Dude has written things that I have enjoyed.
I agree. And I was going to say it's a different discussion, but I think you could also argue that he has f***ed up a ton of stuff and not finished a ton of stuff and written one of the worst Superman stories of all time.
Oh, Grounded?
Yes. And then left. So somebody
before
else.
It was even done, yeah.
Oh, was it Chris Roberson had to finish it?
Yeah.
God. Ugh,
I can't believe that J. Michael Straczynski isn't held to the same harsh standard that people hold Chuck Austin's X-Men.
Yeah, I don't get it. I do not get it. But there's still so much respect for him out there. I don't understand.
And I think I understand that it's because that there are bright spots in Straczynski's Spider-Man and all of Austin's X-Men is a dumpster fire.
No, that's true.
Well, I am stunned that nobody came up with my answer.
What is your answer?
I thought for sure that right out of the gate, Anthony from Brooklyn was going to take my answer, but
okay.
He didn't.
Okay.
If Black Scorpion had called in, he would have taken it. So some years ago, there was a... Oh, boy. How far back do I need to go to conversation make sense?
Story time with Joe Patrick, folks. Everybody curl up.
I just want to provide enough context so that people understand what I'm talking about. The DC multiverse. We all know it's a thing. We understand the idea that there were multiple versions of all these characters. So, Crisis on Infinite Earths introduced this character called Superboy Prime.
Oh, I see where you're going.
And Superboy Prime was supposed to be a character that was from our Earth, right? He was from the quote unquote real world.
He was like the only superhero, right?
Right. He was from a world where Superman was just a comic book character. And he gained these powers.
Wasn't that the catch where like all the stories from the regular DC universe were comic books on his planet?
Right. Okay. Like, yeah, it's like literally he's from our Earth. It's like if I discovered I had superpowers and I became Superboy.
Gotcha. You're a little old, call yourself boy, but you know, whatever.
You know, I have that boyish charm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Superboy Prime gets caught up in the crisis on Infinite Earths. And as a result of what's going on, his universe gets destroyed. When all the Earths merge as one, he's got no place to go. So at the end, he goes off into the sunset with the Golden Age Superman and his wife Lois and Alexander Luthor, you know, the original Superman and then the version of Superboy that represents us. They get to have their happy ending, even though their worlds technically no longer exist. Flash forward 25 years later or 20 some years later, and Geoff Johns is telling the story of Infinite Crisis, which was the anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he brings back the Golden Age Superman and Superboy Prime. But instead of being heroes, they are essentially treated as villains because they bust out of their
capsule?
Limbo or whatever
it is. They were like in a thing. It was a little ball.
Well, no, they were like in an alternate dimension where they could see everything that was going on.
Oh, okay.
Superboy Prime and the Golden Age Superman are really mad at how dark and gritty everything's gotten since they sacrificed their entire lives for this new universe. And so they come out and there's some trouble, and we won't get into the whole story of Infinite Crisis. But the number one thing about the whole shebang that I found the most ludicrous is the idea that the continuity changes that were brought on as a result of Infinite Crisis were caused by Superboy Prime pounding on the walls of reality.
Yeah, man. He was pissed.
So in Limbo, he got so mad.
He was pissed.
That he was smashing on the walls and it would send out these ripples and all of a sudden fart, Jason Todd's back from the dead.
That's exact one. I was going to say that first too. And
fart. Oh, Batman forgot who Joe Chill was or whatever. Or maybe he remembered who Joe Chill was. I forget. But yeah, all these little subtle continuity changes were because Superboy had a temper tantrum, pounded on the walls of his room, and then busted out and murdered a bunch of people.
Yeah, you know.
Ugh.
It's what happens when you hit the walls of reality too hard.
Superboy Prime in general. I don't need it.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was pretty unbelievable and it was stupid. Mine is another DC event. It took place 2001. It was an event called Justice League, JLA, Act of God.
Act of God.
This was an Elseworlds book. But it was an Elseworlds book in the sense that something happened to the characters that we completely recognize as the JLA that didn't happen in the regular DCU. Other than that, they're completely themselves. Nothing different. They're the JLA. They're in the Watchtower. They're doing their thing, right?
Oh, okay, right.
So Doug Monick wrote this. I love Doug Monick.
Doug Mensch.
Mensch. I love Doug Mensch. And I picked this up. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm having fun with Morrison's JLA right now. I'm going to buy this. In the story, an event called the Blacklight event takes place. And what happens is there's this like flash of black light that strikes the Earth and everybody with superpowers loses their powers, right? They're powerless. Yeah. The Martian Manhunter is stuck as a Martian. Superman is not Superman. Wonder Woman can't do anything. For some reason, Ray Palmer, whose powers come from a belt, can no longer shrink. I don't know why, but whatever. So from there, the heroes freak the f*** out. Ray Palmer, for example, who should not have lost his powers because they weren't superpowers. They come from a suit, went straight to some laboratory that turned out to be a laboratory run by Lex Luthor, who promised they could shrink him again. And they do, except he's stuck 6 inches tall and they make him live in a dollhouse. And then Lex Luthor kills him with a tiny atomic bomb. completely f-ing stupid. Clark, Lois Lane leaves Clark because he's so depressed that he lost his powers and he can't help anybody. And he ends up homeless and drunk, but not before he moves in with Wonder Woman and they fall in love and they try it together. Wonder Woman, who has now become a Catholic and believes that God did this as a test. And when the test is over, she'll get her powers back. But
wait, she knows Zeus, right? Like personally.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we've seen that happen plenty of times. Well, now she's Catholic. Okay. And she gets sick of Superman for his drinking problem, kicks him out. She also becomes suicidal because she starts to doubt her own reserve in face of this trouble. Superman also becomes suicidal on the streets, watching a fireman save someone from a fire or something. It was ludicrously bad. Absolutely stupid. Green Lantern, who was Kyle Rayner at the time, like loses a battle to a guy named Sonar, who's a like just some dork and gets totally obsessed with it and goes and like does everything in his power to beat Sonar without his ring and finally does. But while he's doing it, he gets impaled on a sharp rock and dies. Like, I'm not.
Hold on. Did he lose the ability to use the ring?
Yes. The ring just wouldn't work anymore.
Oh, so like suck all the power's gone out.
Yeah. Which, again, not a superpower. It's a thing that he uses. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, but at least I will accept that if it was caught on Earth when this happened, it would lose its powers.
But other people like Batman, like his gadgets all still worked, you know? I mean, like anybody who used gadgets was fine. Toy Man was still around.
But you got to admit the Green Lantern ring is a little different than a gadget.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. That's not the point. He gets impaled on a sharp rock and dies.
I mean, yeah, that's dumb.
Now, of course, there's a happy ending where Clark and Wonder Woman get back together and they have a child a year later and and they're all still normal. This was the worst. And I get that it was an Elseworlds, but you cannot tell me a guy like Superman or Clark Kent or Wonder Woman are going to go this buck wild insane. How many times have they been depowered? How many times? I mean, I can't even count. I have no idea. And not once do they go, booze and suicide. You know, like, come on. It was so ridiculous.
So here's what Wikipedia says under the criticism heading. Reviewers have heavily criticized the irrational characters and severe idiot plot tendencies.
Oh, God, it was so dumb.
The complete destruction of Clark Kent and Lois Lane's relationship was heavily questioned, as was the sudden complete abandonment of both Superman and Wonder Woman's heroics and ideals. Like, the only thing keeping them from being good people was having superpowers.
Yeah, they're better than us. That's it. That's why they're so good.
Like, the second those powers are gone, they are degenerates.
Terrible. Absolutely stupid. I'm done talking about this. I'm mad.
I remember reading it, but man, I must have blocked it out.
Oh, God, it was so bad. It was so, I brought it back. Like, take this piece of shit away from me. Joe Patrick, this is enough. We're throwing fits. I can't do this anymore. Let's, on a lighter note, why don't you introduce next week's question?
All right. The new question of the week comes from D. Murray. You heard him on this here program. We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Amalgam Comics. Yeah, 20th. D wants you to take a Marvel character and first, you know what? Any two comic characters from different universes.
Do a quick little explanation of Amalgam.
Okay, so Amalgam was the event that spun out of Marvel versus DC, where the two separate universes were smushed together and a new universe was formed as though their histories were intertwined, which means you had characters like Super Soldier, which was Steve Rogers as a Superman type figure, or Doctor Strange Fate, who was Doctor Strange with Doctor Fate's helmet on him. So histories and personalities and powers combined. D wants you to come up with your own Amalgam. So take any two characters from separate comic book universes, smush them together, flesh them out, give them a cool sounding code name.
Very 90s, please.
And hit it and hit us with it.
It's going to be a ton of fun. I love it.
By the way, the deadline, if you're hearing this, is Friday, the 4th of March, 5 p.m. Central Time.
There you go. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to call in and get us your answers one last time. He's on the police's all your calls, so if you get cut off, that's his fault. Keep it under 2 minutes. Those are the rules. Damon Chan, I'm glad you got through, buddy. Good to have you. I expect to hear from all of you next week. Thank you to everybody that called in. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
personally the most unbelievable thing I've encountered in your simple human comic book stories is the fact that Ultron, the Magus, the Ultra-Human Knight, Amazo, Brainiac, or any of the other sentient artificial beings in comics never just simply hacked into the United States nuclear arsenal and launched a life-ending attack on the planet. It would be so simple if they could just shut up. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894 or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Sleep well, knowing that your human writers will never be as clever as we are. Good night.